One of the famous questions asked regarding Hanukkah is, why is there little to no mention of Hanukkah in the Mishnah? Why did Rebbe leave out Hanukkah? Let me just point out, technically speaking, Hanukkah is mentioned. Number one, it's mentioned in the Megillah regarding the Kriyas HaTorah of Hanukkah. And as well, I believe the Gemara in Baba Kama with the camel were concerned in the Din of Mazikin about with the hay and catching on fire. So there is some mention of Hanukkah in the Mishnah, but very little and very insignificant mention. So why did Rebbe leave it out in contrast to Purim, which has a whole Masechta, although most of the Masechta is not about Purim. I mean, you have the second, third, and fourth that we're talking about, Tefillah, Kriyas HaTorah, Beis HaKnesses, even though, as Rav Shakta likes saying, the more shtickle Torah is in the couple of Bad in Hanukkah than there are in the whole Masechta's Megillah about Purim. But either way, why is it that Hanukkah gets little to no mention in the Mishnah? So there are a couple approaches. There's the more global approach, that it's not limited to Hanukkah, but Hanukkah will be included, and then there'll be specific to Hanukkah. So we'll start with the general before we make it to the particular. So the more global historical approach is from Rev. Reuven Margolis. He wants to point out that national mitzvahs, i.e. talis, tefillin, or mashiach, they're left out. You know, it's having a Moshe Mashiach is mentioned parenthetically in the Mishnah and Brachas, but why is it? Because they were concerned about that the non-Jewish governments would take it as the Jews are looking to rebel and take back the land of Israel, so they wanted to keep it low-key. So Hanukkah just happened, historically speaking, it wasn't a long time. So therefore, Rebbe left it out of the Mishnah. He didn't want people to think, oh, Hanukkah, the Maccabees, the Hashmonaim, they're going to take over and rebel against us. So therefore, in order to basically a situation of Jews in Golis, and it's kind of like Yaakov's approach to Esav, that you humble yourself, you don't flaunt anything, and therefore they wanted to keep these things a little low-keyed. So a second approach is from the Rambam and Perush HaMishnayos and Menachos. Yeah, why he sits is left out of the Mishnayos. So he writes, "Advarim Yiduim," because it's well known. Everyone knows you put on a talis, you put on tzitzis every day, so there's no need to talk about it. So too, based on the Rambam and Perush HaMishnayos, so to Hanukkah just happened historically, and therefore everyone knew about it. Of course, the question is, there are many other Kriya Shema, there are many other Dvarim Yiduim that are mentioned. So it's difficult in the sense, at least the Rambam and Perush HaMishnayos says it, and then we try to learn out the Hanukkah. As opposed to the first Pshat, it's more speculative. Also, the national mitzvahs have been left out. And, you know, we apply it to Hanukkah. So either way, to the global approach is we leave out nationalistic mitzvahs because we want to keep it low-keyed in Golis. We don't want the government to think we're going to have a rebellion and they'll kill us, or have more pogroms, or Dvarim Yiduim, so the effort is no need to. A third approach is more specific to Hanukkah, the approach of the Chasam Sofer. Different explanations, but we'll go with the normative one. That Rebbe came from Sheva Yehuda, the dynasty of Malchus, as we'll read about in a couple of weeks in Shul, Lo Yosser Sheva Mi Yehuda. And we know the Chashmonaim not only didn't come from Sheva Yehuda, but they were Kohanim, so perhaps there was a double lav, a lav and a Kohen taking on the Malchus, as well as not being from Sheva Yehuda. So the Ramban points out what happened. The Hashmonaim were great people. Chasidei Elyon. And yet they did a sin b'shogeg, or they did a sin they didn't know about, and their families were destroyed. In fact, the Gemara says anyone who claims they're from the Chashmonaim family are either slaves or they're lying. In other words, so the Chashmonaim did a terrible thing, and even though they kept without them, there wouldn't be the Torah around, but nevertheless, they did a terrible sin. And therefore, because of that, their family got wiped out. That's why no one's left from the Chashmonaim. So why did Rebbe leave it out? Because in order not to embarrass the Chashmonaim, to do it, the terrible, what happened to their faith, so therefore, we left it out of the Mishnah, keep it more low-key, not in order to avoid humiliation of the Chashmonaim family. That's the approach of Eitzig. Of course, according to this, we'd also have to explain why other times things are mentioned in the Mishnah that seem to not be concerned about this. But that's, so this explanation of the Chasim Sofer only works according to the Ramban, who claims that they sin by taking over the Malchus. The Rambam, Maimonides, seems to take a different approach. In the beginning, in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, he calls it Yeshua. It's a great thing that Eretz Yisrael was under, the Beis HaMikdash was under Jewish control. So what's in the Kudus HaMachokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the Chashmonaim taking over was disastrous or from good? So perhaps it could be Lishi Tasson. The Rambam was consistent with his view, and the Ramban consistent with his view. That there's a Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin, the Torah says, Som Tasov Melech. So the Gemara has a whole discussion there. Is it what type of mitzvah is appointing a king? Is it a chov? Is it mandatory? Like the first part of the pasuk seems to indicate, but if you look at the rest of it, but at the end, it seems to say it's optional if you want it. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara, which is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban holds it's a chiyuv, but makom she'ein ish. Yishtal, when do we say if there's someone else from Sheva Yehuda is right, but there's no one else, so then of course you have to take it. And the Rambam says no. Since it's a Rishu, so you don't, no one has to do it. So therefore, that's why. So therefore, you didn't have to do it. You didn't have to appoint a king or not. So according to the Ramban, who says it's a Chiyav, so therefore, what choice do I have? They had to become kings. But the Rambam says they were just the opposite. It's the opposite. The Ramban, who holds there was a Rishus, so therefore, you didn't have to do it. So therefore, you got punished for taking it. The Rambam holds it was a good thing. Perhaps he held that it was a chiyuv, and therefore, what do you want? Makom she'einish. So regardless, if that's the lumdus behind it, the bottom line is the Rambam says it calls it a Yeshua, and the Ramban calls it a terrible avera they did taking it over. So the Chasim Sofer's answer not to embarrass the Chashmonaim works according to the opinion of the Ramban. But according to the Rambam, who says it's a good thing, so why would I leave it out? You should have to put it in, not leave it out. So there's a famous answer from Rav Soloveitchik on Pshat in the Rambam. If you hold like the Rambam, it's a Yeshua, so why was he left out of the Mishnayos? So Rav Soloveitchik explained based on the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan talks about one who burned to save the Torah. So the Gemara says, we're familiar with Kriya, you lose a loved one, you go to the Kotel. But the Gemara says, if you burn a Sefer Torah, so you have to rip Kriya. You have to rip Kriya, not once, but you got to lip Kriya twice. Why twice? Because it says once on the cloth and once on the osios, once on the parchment and once on the letters. And yet, the famous Gemara was Hananya ben Trajan, when they're torturing him, and the Talmidim said, Rebbe, what do you see? That's because they took a Sefer Torah, they wrapped it in it, built a wall, they wanted to make him suffer. He said, what do you see? I see the parchment burning, but the osios going to Shamayim, but the letters going to heaven. So, he points out, an apparent contradiction. How come the Gemara in Moed Katan we see that both the parchment and the letters burn? In the Gemara with Rav Chayyim ben Trajan, only the parchment burns. So Rav Salveishik explained, first he has another kasha, he said, and also we see, when it comes to the Romans, Chazal always used the term churban, destruction. When it comes to the Syrian Greeks, it uses v'timoko ashmanim. So why, what's the distinction? So Rav Salveitchik explains as follows, that who's burning a Sefer Torah? In the Gemara, in Moed Katan, unfortunately it's a Jew who's burning a Sefer Torah. A Jew who has shaychis to Torah, that's what the Gemara says in Nida. Amal teaches everyone ko atarah kulo. Before the born, every Jew has shaychus to Torah, and therefore, when a Jew burns the Sefer Torah, you need Kriya twice. He could not only burn the parchment, he could burn the osios. When it comes to the Gemara with the torture, with the guy burning the Sefer Torah, so therefore, you burn the Sefer Torah, but only the parchment. So that's a churban, is talking about physical destruction. But when we're talking about Greeks, we're talking about a tumah. It's a spiritual thing, and that's why the famous kasha of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor writes, yes, how could the Greeks go in and metame the temple? We have a principle, ein adam osir davash ein shalo. Someone goes in and comes into my house and starts worshiping my dining room table. My dining room table doesn't become usher. Of course, that being said, if he came in and chafed up my pots, they would be, because that's a physical thing. But Avodah Zarah is b'makshava. It's in the thought process, so therefore he can't usher something that doesn't belong to you. So how could the Greeks go ahead? I understand that you could do churban and destroy it. But how could you metami if you don't have any shakas to it? So that's what the Baal HaMor answers. It wasn't the Yavanim, it was the Mistyavnim. Unfortunately, it was the assimilated Jew. Sometimes a Jew could do more harm than any guy. A guy burns the Sefer Torah, all he could do is burn the parchment. But a Yid who has connection to Torah, if he does it, it's even worse. You have to rip two Kriyas. And that's always... it's always during the time of the story with Yosef and Mechiras Yosef, and a lot of times, so it's that we need to do a turning inward, that we have to work out it was the brothers themselves who, because of the kinah, the jealousy, they sold Yosef. So a lot of times, a lot of things in history turn out, it's on us in the sense that we brought it on. Not to excuse the anti-Semites who punish other, they have no right to do it either. So we have a couple of explanations. We have, why is it left out of the Mishnah? We have Rav Yehuda Margolis, national mitzvahs. We're afraid not to revolt against the Goyim. We have the Rambam, Tvarim, Yidum. Everyone knew about Talis and Tefillin. They certainly knew about Hanukkah. It wasn't that long ago. What about particulate to Hanukkah? You have the Chasam Sofer that the Ramban says, even though they were Chasidei Umas HaOlam, but they took over the Malchus, so therefore the family perished. So not to embarrass what they did, not to embarrass the Chashmonaim, so he left it out of the Mishnah. That works all according to the Ramban, but the Rambam holds it was the Yeshua. for 200 over 200 years we had Jewish control Malchus. So how do we answer why is it left out of the Mishnah? So Rav Soloveitchik explained based on the apparent contradiction. One Gemara says you burn a Sefer Torah, you need two Kriyas. Another Gemara says with the Roman soldier, one of the soldiers only saw the parchment burning. So the answer is, when a Jew does it, it's worse. The Ashaych is the Torah, so you need Shnei Kriyas. But a guy, he only could physically burn it, so he only could burn the parchment. And that's why the Baal Mor writes, Eidan the Moser Dabar Shenu Shalom. How did the Greeks metamet? Because it wasn't the Greeks, it was the assimilated Jews. It was Misyavdim. They only could do it. No guy could metamet kol hashmanim. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik explains according to the Rambam. The reason why they left out Chanukah in the mission, it wasn't, as the Chasam Sofer said to him, not to embarrass the Chashmonim, because according to him, the Chashmonim did well. But it's because it's an embarrassment to the Jewish people. The only reason we were Metamei Kol Hashmonim, because they assimilated Jews, that we don't want to publicize, that we want to play down, so therefore we go ahead and we leave it out of the Mishnayos. To those four answers, they're all interesting answers, either global, particular, but they're all saying they're all external reasons. That really it should be in the Mishnah. The assumption is it should be in the Mishnah. And I'll tell you why it's not. It's either because of national mitzvahs, is well known, embarrassment to the Chashmonim, embarrassment to the Jewish people. But let's suggest a fifth answer, which is saying no, it wasn't that. The question isn't that it should be in there and why not. It shouldn't be in there. It's not even a question. Why did Rebbe leave it out of the Mishnah? So that's, we can say, based on the following. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Chav Ches, on the Pasuk, V'menetzeach ala yeles ha-shachar, the Gemara says that just like the moon is the end of the night, so too Purim is Sof Kohanisim. Is the end of a miracle. What about Chanukah? The Gemara says, with a cryptic answer, depending how you want to learn it, but it would have said that Purim is the last of the Torah Shabbat miracles. Chanukah was a Torah Shabbat miracle. What's the difference between a written law miracle versus an oral law miracle? So the Vilna Gaon explains, that's the difference between Rachel and Leah, and Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Leah, we know that Yaakov was supposed to marry, and he worked 7 years for her, and then Levin switched it. Bezuah, Levin, they switched it around. So he had to work another 6-7 years. So basically, from Yaakov's perspective, Leah was a gift. He was working for Rachel, and he got Leah out of nowhere. So therefore, Leah represents Torah of Ksav, that God does everything. There's not much human effort. But by Rachel, that represents the oral law, which is human input. That represents Rachel, Yaakov working so hard that he could get her and marry her. And that's also the difference. By his Rishon, we had Nevi'im. So basically, as we said in the Midbar, you didn't go to doctors if you got sick. You go to the Kohanim to see if this is leprosy or not. It was a different level. So that we had Nevi'im. By Yishani, we didn't Nevi'im. That's what we had, as we'll see, that's when we had the explosion of Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's what has to come from us. That's why we say, Lo Bashamayim Hi. And that's why the Gemara explains why the Sugya of listening to Chachamim happens to be in the second parak in Shabbos by Chanukah. But hey, how can we say the Brachala? How do we... It's only a mitzvah drabanan, so that's what the Gemara explains. Well, Sasser, no, the Torah says to listen to the Chachamim. In fact, that's the famous Ma'aser with Rav Chaim Volozhin. He used to say the Gra used to go to sleep with questions to the Malachim. The angels came and they wanted to give him the answer, and he shooed them away. He says, no, I want to work on him. I want it to be my Torah. In fact, though, even though the Mechaber, the Magid Meisharim, he took the answer. But nevertheless, that's the approach of the Gra. And therefore, the reason why Rebbe left it out of the Mishnah is because it's the Torah Shel Baal Peh. The Torah Shel Baal Peh is specifically oral. In fact, Rebbe had to make a special dispensation to put the Torah Shel Baal Peh b'ksav, because as the Shor Salanta said, that was the dynamics, the liquidity, the fluidness of Torah Shel Baal Peh. You put it into print, you're gonna take away that great value. So that's why Rebbe left it out of the Mishnah, and in fact a very little in the Gemara, that's the essence of Torah Shel Baal Peh. And Torah Shel Baal Peh is meant to be oral, and therefore Rebbe wanted to demonstrate that Chanukah is the time of the explosion of Torah Shel Baal Peh. It's the beginning of the Torah Shel Baal Peh miracles, and that takes effort. That's why you need the Rachel by Yesheni. And we know in this world, easy come, easy go. The more effort we put into something, the more meaningful and lasting it is.